Well, here we are on another opportunity to talk about sheep. And it comes up a lot. And I occasionally think I've said everything that there is to say, that, or at least that I have to say, about sheep and how we're sheep and how Jesus is a good shepherd. And for a moment I thought I was actually going to have to preach about mothers on Mother's Day, which I just think is just so fraught with problems. I mean, it's almost a lose-lose when you're up here and you're not a mother. I'm not quite sure what I'd have to say that I could get away with. And so as I was thinking about it, and I wouldn't run away from preaching about anything that I really felt I needed to, but something different struck me about this whole shepherd idea. And I was very intrigued, not because I'm not likely to discover new things, because of course I am, but this one had never really struck me before. And so as I was looking again at what it might mean to be a shepherd, and that's where the sermon title comes from, another look at shepherd, I realized that we've spoken often about Jesus as shepherd and what that means for us, and for us as sheep, realizing, you know, just as a quick recap, that it might not be terribly flattering to us to be considered sheep if we know what sheep are like, but at the same time, sheep that are well cared for are about as well cared for, I think, as anything could possibly be when it comes to farm animals. I mean, there's really something about shepherds and their relationship to sheep, like that whole business where the sheep know their shepherd's voice, as far as I know, is the case, that they actually learn these things. They become closely connected with their shepherd and they're cared for. So, I mean, that's a good thing. But as I was looking at that, I thought, well, if we're going to be reading that, what are we doing in Acts? There's nothing in there about sheep. Why would we stick that together? I mean, in here we have this beautiful picture of the early church, in some ways a much less complex time than now. People were more geographically close, and so some of the things that we see in Acts, we occasionally get this idea that if we were just better people, we would also have a church just like the church in Acts. And I think, well, that's possibly true. If we all lived in the same town and all worked in the same town and had always lived in the same town and knew each other, I mean, there's some profound differences here that let's not lose track of. There's lots of things in the early church that we can take, but not necessarily everything. What we can do, though, is look at this example. And the New International Version has this, the little headers that it has every once in a while, has the fellowship of the believers, which I think really captures the reading that we had this morning, where we hear that the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They ate together, they prayed together, they were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. They met together, broke bread in each other's homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And they grew. And I think just about all of us, when we read that, we think, wouldn't that be extraordinary to live in that context, where you're together on a regular basis, you know each other so well that you can meet each other's needs without needing to strike a committee to take care of this and worry about, you know, anything. You just take care of all these things. And I think that would be extraordinary, and it would be wonderful. And at least now and then, groups of believers manage to make this happen, at least for periods of time, here on earth, not just in the sort of the misty days of Acts, but, you know, in reasonably contemporary history. We have faith communities that do this. But they're unusual. They take a special kind of context that we're simply not in. We're not going to live together for all kinds of reasons. Some are good, some are bad, most are just neutral. That's just the way it is. And we're not going to share together exactly the same way they did there. But the thing that struck me as I was considering this again, Psalm 23, Peter talking about sheep, Jesus saying, "I am the shepherd," yet again, I realized that there's a theme going through the passages that we've been reading for the last several weeks. And that theme is, well, who is the shepherd? We know Jesus is the shepherd. And we know we hear his voice. But how many of you, and this isn't asking for a show of hands, but how many of you have actually heard with your own ears the voice of Jesus? Well, almost none of us. Jesus does still appear to people in visions, in mystical experiences that are as real as anything else, but they're very, very unusual. So how do we hear the voice of Jesus? When Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice," and we go, "Yes, we do," well, what are we talking about? We're talking about here. We're talking about this faith community. We're talking about Knox Presbyterian and any other church we've ever attended, where Jesus has been glorified by fallen, flawed people who are doing the best they can. This is where the shepherd is. Other places, sure, but let's not lose sight of the fact that this is where the shepherd cares for his sheep, cares for us. And we spoke just a little while ago about how we are the hands of Jesus. Well, we're also his voice. We are also his rod and staff. The metaphor of shepherd with us being sheep is a rich one, as I've said before. It has all kinds of entry points for us to see different things about God and how much he loves us, to see our dependence on him that doesn't diminish us in any way, but instead enables us to see where in our limitations, we will become complete through Christ. But we've sort of skipped over, in a sense, where that happens or how that happens. And not for a moment do we ignore the mystical, that even mysterious dimension of our faith, where we interact directly with God in a personal way that frequently we can't even describe to ourselves, let alone someone else. But through our time of devotion, times of prayer, reading scripture, times of worship in a corporate or a personal sense, we have these moments. But most of our moments aren't quite like that. Most of the times we hear Jesus, it's when somebody else is talking and Jesus is making use of their abilities, their talents, their experience, their mistakes now and then, that he might speak to us. This is the way it works. Jesus has promised to never leave us alone. He's promised that we will never be abandoned. And we are the instrument that prevents that from happening. It's us who are the shepherd as we take over that role in the physical sense from Jesus. I think I've told you the story before of a small child who was in their bedroom. There was a very nasty thunder and lightning storm, and there's many problems, and they were afraid, which happens. And so a parent, meaning well-meaning as the case might be, said, "Well, pray, Jesus is with you." And he replied with, "Well, I know Jesus is with me, but I want someone with more skin." That makes sense to me. I mean, the fundamental reality that Jesus is with us all the time is not necessarily quite as comforting as being hugged sometimes. And the nice thing is we get both, because when we're being hugged by those people who care for us, they're a representation, they're the physical manifestation, if you will, not in any weird way, of Jesus' love for us. But Jesus has put around us a group of people, in a church, in a small group, in our families, in our connections, wherever they are, who are his shepherding love for us. In the Acts church, we saw that people sold all that they had and gave to those who had need. Well, we don't do that exactly the same way here, but we make sure that we're cared for. And sometimes that means taking someone who is unfamiliar with the system that we have for caring for people and assisting them to walk through filling out government forms. So they get the assistance that they need, that we provide, through our social safety net that we support through the paying of our legitimate taxes. How is that different than the other? It isn't at all if our intention is to minister to people exactly the same way the church at Acts did. And I think that is what we do. When we reach out to each other in compassion, there's no functional difference between our church and the first church. The first church was doing its very best to reflect God's love for the people around, the people that they knew and those that they didn't know, for the people in the church and those outside the church. They were trying to be God's shepherding love to all around them, just like we do. And we look at the Church of Acts, and it has, of course, the glow of what do they call it? Projected nostalgia. That's where you didn't live through it. It's not your own nostalgia, but it's, you know. And so we look at this, and we tend to think that the church in Acts, the early church, those first couple of centuries, had no problems. And then we read Corinthians and realize, no, they had problems because there are people in it, and they did the best they could, and they made mistakes. Which sounds an awful lot like every church I've ever been in. A group of people doing the very best we can, knowing that we are not blessed or perhaps cursed with perfection, that we will make mistakes. But when we are reaching out to people because we love them and we want what's best for them, we are the hands of the great shepherd. When the church at Acts was supporting those around, they were doing the work of God in a profound way, and so do we. Sometimes it's not as direct as it was there, but every time we make a contribution in the offering, every time we pray for this congregation, a larger denomination, and the larger church universal, we are making a contribution there too. And it might not be as direct as selling a cow and taking some of the money and giving it to someone who needs it, but it's no less legitimate, it's no less authentic, and it's certainly no less loving. We do what we do to bring the love of God to the world we're in, where we are. And we can spend as much time as we like wishing it was the time of Acts, but it won't be. It's always going to be the time it is, and we will always have opportunities. We will always have opportunities to minister to people around us. And when we do it from that heart of compassion, when we do it from that sense that we are accomplishing what God has asked us to do, our voices will ring with the true voice of the shepherd, and what we do will be recognized for what it is. God's people doing God's work. So I thought we'd said everything there was to be said about shepherding, and there aren't perhaps quite as many stories today about how silly sheep can be, because this time we're on the other side. We get to be the shepherd, not in the ultimate sense, but we get to do the work that the great shepherd that Jesus said needed to be done. And so another look at shepherd is not just in the receiving, although that's part of it too, but also in providing that shepherd's care. I never had any particular interest when I was growing up, except for very short periods of time, about being involved with the soil, living on the land, being a farmer of any kind. There were times when I thought it would be fun, but that was mostly when I had just done something interesting. I don't know what it was. So I don't have that deep sense that this is going to fulfill my childhood dream of being a cowboy or something along that line. But what it does do is it reminds me that there is place for all of us in ministering to the people around us, being, in fact, the hands, the rod, and the staff of the great shepherd. We have these opportunities all the time. They're around us. Sometimes they're big. Most of the time they seem fairly small. But every time we reach out in compassion, when we reach out in care, whether that's bringing a word of correction or encouragement, whatever it might be, we are the hands, the voice, the everything of the Good Shepherd. Amen.